Thucydides, Trap, Clash of Empires. Very difficult word to pronounce. Thucydides, Trap, The Clash of Empires. Welcome to This Present Truth. I'm your host, Rick Rodriguez. Today is May 16th, 2026, Saturday. President Donald Trump returned from China 2 days ago. The programs are archived on thispresenttruth.com. thispresenttruth.com. Contact information, Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. Thucydides. I've never heard that name. I hadn't heard that name until Xi Jinping mentioned it on the second day of his meetings with Donald Trump at the dinner. And the press, European press, Asian press, American press, has had a lot to say. Many people on YouTube, YouTubers, are presenting the Thucydides trap. What is it? Why is it important? Basically, it was a subtle, I don't know how you would phrase it, a subtle, arrogant, very arrogant comment by Xi Jinping of China. It was, I took it as a threat to America, to Trump as the president. And in my view, now the world is going to begin a move toward Armageddon. People question whether we are in the final last days before Christ returns. Let me explain why I have that take that position. But I want to explain exactly what this Thucydides trap is. I'm going to read this out of China Tech News, though many have already heard about the meeting. It originated from Harvard politician scientist Graham Allison, inspired by a Greek historian Thucydides. Allison's theory explained how structural tensions rise when an emerging power challenges an established dominant power, which leads to confrontation. So this is what Xi Jinping was addressing, Thucydides' trap, that there is an emerging empire. He was basically saying, we are an emerging empire, and there's going to be conflict with a world hegemon, a dominant power, America. He was saying, we are destined, China, or we are destined to rule the world. We have been since 1949, China has been on a trajectory to rule the world by 2049. The way Xi presented it is, we don't want conflict. We need to both back away. We are an emerging power. You are the present hegemon, but you are losing your power. And we need to work together. We should work together so that there won't be this clash. No. You cannot, the world cannot, China and the United States will not keep, they will not be able to avoid confrontation It's not going to happen. I would phrase it this way. Some of the viewers, listeners, not viewers, many who probably listen to my programs are familiar with the cage fighting, MMA cage fighting, mixed martial arts. What just happened on the 14th of May, the day before Israel became a nation in 1945, May 14th, Xi Jinping made a comment about Thucydides and a trap, two nations colliding in a power structure, the dominant becoming the non-dominant, and in this kind of a clash between the United States and China, one nation is going to be removed from history. It's going to be America. But before America is removed, China and Xi Jinping and the CCP and the present political structure of China is going to be replaced. So with cage fighting and that analogy, both the United States and China are now outside the cage, and they're going to make an entrance in the next 7+ years. Like I had stated in previous programs, Russia's last and greatest president, Vladimir Putin, is about to go to war in the Middle East. And what's going to happen is, once Russia is destroyed, there'll be just people living in present-day Russia, but the army will be 5/6 will be destroyed. The armies on the battlefield in present-day Jordan will be eliminated. But once that occurs, once this war is finished, and you can listen to the programs on May the 14th, 2 days ago, part two. Part one was May the 13th, which was on Wednesday. So Wednesday and Thursday, I did the programs on Russia. America and China, the cage is going to be prepared. Xi Jinping set things in motion that cannot be reversed. Now, there's no reversal. So going on with the article out of China Tech News. China's rapid rise across various sectors has transformed the global balance of power, intensifying competition with the United States in areas like technology, trade, military activity. China's expanding influence led to disputes spanning tariffs, cybersecurity, Taiwan, military presence in the Indo-Pacific region. Under Trump's administration, Washington has escalated pressure on Beijing through technology restrictions and new trade measures, monitoring the dynamics of the Thucydides trap theory, which Xi has consistently referenced. He has consistently referenced the Thucydides trap over the years. But now, for President Trump, end of quote, for President Trump to be in Beijing at the formal dinner with all of the entourage that Donald Trump took with him to Beijing and all of the Chinese leaders and the press, world press, and he makes this comment openly and says, we need to work together to avoid this conflict. Donald Trump, he heard it clearly, but this is going to mean relationship with China. You can stretch a rope so far, and then eventually the fibers begin to weaken. It's too much now. It's done. We are going to now watch China. Trump is going to, his resolve, he's going to be more tactical, not in spite, but because he is not going to allow a nation to threaten his country. Eventually, Trump is doing presently is he is setting, you might say, he's setting the table for the next administration. He's setting in place the boundaries and barriers for what's going to happen after he leaves his presidency. Everything will be in place for the next administration. The next administration will not be a MAGA administration. The MAGA administration, when Donald Trump is finished with his time in office, which will not be 2028, it will be way before that. When he is gone, he will have set the boundaries again for the next administration, and the diplomatic tone will be already set. And with Xi basically making this threat to not only this administration, but future administrations, it's not going to go well for Xi Jinping or for China. So this was a warning. It was a warning by Xi, which was underscoring the importance of managing the tensions to avoid political destabilization, confrontation. Too late. Too late. The confrontation now is in motion. Some of the reports coming out, these commentators were discussing that with Xi and with the meeting with Donald Trump, there was interesting things that people observed. The military, and these commentators have been watching, reporters have noticed that Xi, for the last 5 years especially, has been removing many of the top generals in the military. I think there was at one time 10 of the major military generals in the military, giving direction to the military, overseeing China's programs in right there off of the coast. But now there's just basically one individual that Xi trusts. And one commentator mentioned something which absolutely makes sense, that since in the 1800s, 1801, even before that, the British had been in China, and it was the British who took over drugs, opium. You had opium wars, and the Chinese people have been basically targeted by the British to manufacture, to build, to basically be slave labor to the British. Xi is very aware of China's history. Xi has patterned himself after Mao Zedong, and he realizes that the United States, the involvement of the West to place Mao in power, he knows the history going back to the 1870s, in that vicinity, when the Rockefeller family from the United States were actively involved in business in China, initially selling the Chinese kerosene, then eventually kerosene lamps. The Rockefellers eventually would, to a degree later on, kind of replace the Rothschild family, not totally, but would be more involved with China through the century up until the 70s, when eventually the Rockefeller family in the United States would move all industry out of the United States, shut down steel mills, and move all of this to China. And Xi Jinping realizes that the British and the United States, the treatment of the Chinese people, and Xi has been on his mission has been to use the West to put China in a position where the world is dependent upon industry, Chinese manufacturing, and it has happened. He's had a real taste now of power by sitting at the helm of that ancient nation. And he is a capitalist, really. He understands capitalism, why communism and fascism, all these other isms, are really not the way to go, but he has to employ the restrictive, political movements to protect the Chinese people, but to control them at the same time. But he needs to have a way to export whatever is manufactured to the other nations. And he's done that. But now he realizes that China is at its PNAC, project for a new American century. China is now at the project for a new Chinese century. America, in the 80s and 90s, we went through that period of project for a new American century. America had the opportunity to be the complete total hegemon of the world using the Klaus Schwab economic strategy. And Xi is doing the same thing. And he believes in his heart, deep in his heart, he wants to make the transition from being a rising power to becoming the ruling power without destroying the power that he is going to rise above. In other words, China will now be dominant. The United States will take her place in second seat. Well, you have a conflict. There's a conflict coming that the world cannot avoid. So, with Xi in the dinner and in the time that he was with Trump, the military was there, but the top generals that have been head of the CCP, the army, China's army, they have been weaned out. Now, in this one commentary I was listening to, China has always been ruled by the British or by the Americans. And the British have still a great influence in the political hierarchy in China, a great influence. Xi Jinping has been removing the individuals in the government that have been more loyal to the city of London and to the main powers in the United States. Anyone that's in the political, in the CCP, in the political structure, in the structure of power, Xi knows who they are. He has been removing them. So it's two things. Those who have been tender to the British and to the British Pilgrims and the American Pilgrim Society and to those in the military as well. That was very interesting. I heard that, and I know that. I knew that. But I didn't see it as the people in power being loyal and really being tender to the British and the Americans. So what Xi Jinping did was I won't say there was any give or take. Trump wasn't going to give. Trump was basically clear that Iran will not have a nuclear weapon. Iran is not going to have a nuclear weapon. And I say that it is not in the Bible. Iran would not use anything nuclear for energy, for nuclear power plants. They would use it only on weapons. In the last 2 months, 3 months, since February, actually, one thing has been noticeable, or one thing is very noticeable. It is the IRGC that is ruling everything, that is making the decisions in Iran. It isn't the leaders. It isn't Khomeini or Khomeini. It isn't the leaders. It is the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps. I keep thinking Iranian. It's not Iranian. It's the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. Islamic. Everything over there is Islamic. And the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, the IRGC, is also at conflict with the other nations in the surrounding area. Iran is not going to allow these other nations to continue to work with nations of the West, Europe, and especially the United States. And they're making it difficult for all those countries. This is why those countries are basically in step and have been to a degree in step with Donald Trump in this operation in the area. Operation Sledgehammer. Initially, the operation was Operation Epic Fury. But Donald Trump doesn't have the support of the Congress to go into a long-term conflict. So what you do is you take Epic Fury, Operation Epic Fury, and you write it to the point where you need to change the name to Operation Sledgehammer. Now you can continue without Congress approving finances for the conflict. But because of the I think pressure from the country, the other countries in the region, especially those that have been working with the United States, with Dubai, with Oman, Saudi Arabia, etc., I think there's been pressure on the Congress to let things go, let the war continue, and make these, requests. And if the with the Islamic Revolutionary Guard. If they don't go along with it, well, then you continue the operation. I'd mentioned in a few of the other programs that America's in the Bible. We are in the Scripture. We are known biblically in the biblical name. The biblical term would be Babylon the Great of the end of the world, of the end times. And God has a lot to say about the United States. Jeremiah 51, it addresses the country and the sins of the country and what the country has done to, as a country, to, cause the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, hardship. We haven't really caused Israel any hardship compared to what we have done to this point is nothing compared to what we are going to do to the nation of Israel in the near future. Israel has never seen the hostility of the United States of America directed at her. That time is coming. And because of it, just like with what God is doing now with the other countries in the region around Israel, he stated 3,500 years plus ago that he was going to punish these nations. He said he would punish Iran, and he would punish Russia, Turkey, other nations. Go back to the previous programs. Russia's last and greatest president, who is Vladimir Putin. And I'll give you the whole explanation of why Russia is going, what Russia is going to do, with whom Russia is going to do it, and where they're going to be punished. It's a punishment. They're not totally destroyed. They're punished. Their armies, they lose their armies. You know, that's the battles. There is a severe punishment on the armies that come. But the people of these nations that are going to collude with Russia, and that Russia is colluding with to invade Israel, the people, they will be fine. They're going to suffer some discomfort, but they're going to be fine. But what does God say about England? A lot to say about England and Europe. They're going to get theirs too. But concerning what the plan is that God had for the United States, I'll read it to you. This is Jeremiah 51, verse 20. God says, "You are the weapon that I use to fight my battles." So God uses America to fight his battles? Yes. "I've used you," this is in the past tense, but it really is future tense, meaning what is going to happen and how God is going to use America is present and future, especially in the next administration, though it has happened with other administrations also. Verse 20 again, "You are the weapon I use to fight my battles. I will use you to punish nations. I will use you to destroy kingdoms. I will use you to destroy whole armies, with their horses, chariots, riders, everything, the army and the all of the weapons. I'll use you to destroy men and women, old men, young men, boys, girls." In other words, to cause upheaval in the societies, in the countries that God uses us to punish. Young men, old men, boys, girls. "I will use you to destroy shepherds and their sheep." The cattle, the sheep, the goats, everything that brings any type of meat to market. So this is the food. This is what God is going to do to use the United States to interfere and to limit food production. There's going to be hunger. There's going to be starvation. Why would God do that? Well, one nation can do it all, and we are going to be that nation. And Donald Trump is setting up, making, and bringing everything needed for the coming administration. He is assembling the people, the individuals that have the corporations, whether high tech, whether finance, etc. He went with a group to China. These are the men who build nations. These are the men who build and are used to perfect communication, build technology, build the chips for technology, everything. These are the men that have the finances, the wealth for everything that is needed for the world in which we live. And Trump took these people to make a statement to Xi Jinping, the Chinese people, the people of the world. These people who are building this present world come from the United States of America, a nation like there has never been in the history of mankind. What the Rothschilds built in Europe, what they did in the past, was fabulous. Can't deny it. But they did not build the modern society. This modern society, we can even, you might say, funnel it even more perfectly to who has done all of this. It began with the baby boom generation people, young people in the United States of America. The computers that the government had begun to develop in the 40s and 50s, the baby boom generation, Bill Gates. Now, why wasn't Bill Gates there? Why didn't Bill Gates go? Why wasn't he invited? People talk about, you know, they're upset with Bill Gates visiting President Trump, being in meetings with President Trump. Trump knows who he is. He knows who he works for, who he works with. He works with the most evil people that the world has ever given birth to. They did not go with him. But these other individuals, I have a list of them. I should break it down, but I can't. I don't have the time. He took these individuals to basically put them on display to the whole world. When you think about the United States, you have to think about every single individual that was there at that dinner and what they bring to the world, what they have to offer the world. There's no group like it in the whole world. These people are the people that they have the greatest power just with each corporation or business. They have more power than some small governments. And Trump took them over there to tell Xi Jinping, this is what you're going to come up against. You don't have the computer chips that you need. Eventually, China comes by land to Armageddon. Doesn't come in the air. Doesn't come by boat. They don't come. The Asian armies, Xi Jinping has now made a decision. I know that he is going to feverishly work to get the Asian families back into the fold. They didn't discuss Taiwan, but that was one thing that Xi made very clear in just a brief comments, that don't mess with us. Don't mess with Taiwan. Taiwan belongs to us. And Taiwan is not Chinese. Taiwan has always been a completely different people. They've never considered themselves to be part of China, ever, in their history, in their existence. There's about 15% of the people in Taiwan that are Chinese from China, and even a big percentage of them consider themselves to be Taiwanese. China has its eyes on Taiwan for two reasons. They want to take over the chip market. If they can't get Taiwan, they're going to look at South Korea. They're going to just jump the border from North Korea into South Korea before the South Koreans can destroy all of the technology. Taiwan will destroy it too. Secondly, China needs Taiwan because then it can rule the Pacific in that region. It will have dominance. But Trump took these men. These are the men that have made America great. And it began with the baby boom generation children. Bill Gates is a baby boomer. Obama, at the end of the baby boom generation, it's when he was born. Trump is baby boom. All of the main politicians right now, other than a few that went, Musk, he's a baby boomer. It is the baby boom generation is in the Bible. And it is a generation like no other generation. It's a generation, and it is centered in the United States of America. The center of Babylon the Great. It would be a nation where eventually there would be a great, they would always be a country with Christian background, Christian gifting, and the Christian gifting, the Christian work ethic would make this country the greatest ever and would give the nation, the people of this nation, the greatest freedoms ever of any nation in mankind's history other than Israel when they were walking with the Lord, when they were in when there was that balance with God and the children of Israel. But in this day, it was the Christian people going back to 1500s when they began to come over, 1600s, that made this country great. It was the Christian people that made the best education, colleges, universities in the world. Not one or two, hundreds, thousands. It was the Christian ingenuity. God said that he would give in Proverbs. He would give people that have inventive minds, the Christian people, the individual that put the power lines across this country, took the glass insulators and turned them into clay. They were clay, a lot cheaper, a lot lighter, was a Christian man. He was an engineer. He took a trip to Israel. Before he left, his employer told him, you've got to find a way to... We need insulators on the poles, but we can't continue. Glass is too heavy, too expensive. He went over, he saw the clay pots, came back, said, we're going to use clay. Christian. Harvard, Christian, Yale. All of these major institutions of education, laugh, were Christian at that time. And then the devil can't build anything. The devil has to take what is invented by people that God gives brilliance to, inventive qualities, and then use what they build or what they develop, what they invent. Not all, but a majority. So anyhow, Xi Jinping got to see the best. He's got to see the best. China will never, ever be given the best of anything. They will never, ever be given what America has. They are a land of the dragon. They are a land of dragon worship. They are a land of idol worship. And they are a land that will never, ever have the abilities that the United States has or the technology, because their objective is world dominance, world hegemony. They will never get it. The United States is the only nation that will have it for a while, because we are in the Bible and we have been placed here to protect the Jewish people. But eventually, we will be worse than what Adolf Hitler did in Germany. We will be worse, a greater curse to the nation of Israel, to the Jewish people. We will be a greater curse. That time is coming. Now I'm going to go back to Jeremiah. Verse 21, I use you, America, to destroy whole armies. I use you, America, to destroy their horses, their chariots, their riders. The whole, eventually, all of these militaries of the world are going to be reduced until Armageddon. I use you to destroy men and women, old men, young men, boys and girls. I use you to destroy shepherds and their sheep, as well as farmers and their oxen. I use you to destroy rulers and their officers. These rulers of the nations, guess what Donald Trump has been doing? These people have been at war with Donald Trump, with this president, the seventh king. He's the seventh king in Revelation chapter 17, verse 10. There are five kings fallen, one who is, and one who is yet to come. And when he comes, he's going to bring a change in the world. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. That is Donald Trump. Then the last Trump, the last king of America, the last American president, was one of the previous six, excluding Donald Trump. So God is going to use this country to destroy the leaders of the world, and using Donald Trump, to anybody that has attacked Trump, going back 2016, 2015, it hasn't ended well for them. And I'll discuss more about Donald Trump in just a second, but I'm going to finish this chapter, verse 24. But now, after America is used as a sledgehammer, a maul, a wrecking ball, God says, or Jeremiah says, but now I will punish America and all the people who lived in America. I will pay them back for all the evil things that they did in Jerusalem. And you will see me accomplish that. So what is coming to the Jewish people in Jerusalem has never taken place. And I can say that Revelation chapter, it's Matthew chapter 24, toward the end of the chapter. No, not the end of the chapter, probably around verse 19. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel stand in the holy place, flee. So in other words, out of America will come the individual that stands and declares himself to be God in the temple in Jerusalem. He will be an American. And he will stand in the holy place and declare himself to be God. I say this now because it's time, and the people of the world need to know, because many people, teachers, Bible prophecy teachers, they're saying that Antichrist comes from here, there, everywhere. No, it's very simple. He comes out of the United States and in the future, very near future. Now, I have to say this about Trump. Some people continue to say that Donald Trump is an insider. I don't know how they can continue to believe that, but they do. He is not an insider. He is of the seven kings in Revelation chapter 17, verse 10 and 11. He is different from the other seven final presidents of the United States. Joe Biden is excluded. He was never president. He was the head of a corporation, not the president of the people. Donald Trump won the election in 2016, 2020, 24. But he was not allowed through the corporation, not allowed to resume his second term, consecutive term. So he had to jump to take the term that he's in. And even this term, he will not get a full four years. But in the meantime, he will be the one who has the greatest dignity, honor. He has the greatest abilities of any of the other and the one to come. No, he is the stellar president of the final seven presidents of the United States. He's stellar in every way. He is not one of the other group. All six of those individuals, it says five, are fallen, and the final one goes to perdition. The term fallen can mean died, is dead, or it could mean that they have no place in eternity with God. And it says number eight, he goes to perdition. So this individual doesn't even get to spend time in a grave. But number seven, he's a man of great dignity, a man that is honored, and there will be those that do honor him. He's royal, actually. You know, right now, with the new center, the addition to the White House, it is going to be the area where all the other powerful people of the world and the power people of this country come to dine, to have dinner, to the banquets. And it is fabulous. It is because this is the type of person Donald Trump is. Not everybody will have the splendor of King Solomon. King Solomon with all of his splendor. Donald Trump will be the president that will have, of all the presidents in American history, he will be the president with the greatest splendor, the greatest dignity. He will be the one who should be honored more than the others. There's another term I want to use, and it's eluding me. Dignity. He has dignity. He is as royal as King Charles, but has greater dignity than King Charles or all of the other men and rulers of Europe, of the Rockefellers. Yeah, they may be powerful. They may have palaces everywhere throughout the world, but dignity, that's a different matter. Trump, what he has done has not been for himself. It has been for the American people. The Rothschilds didn't do what they did for the people of Europe. What they did was for themselves, for the group that rules out of Europe, out of the city of London. They have no dignity. Oh, they may be wealthy. They may be educated. They may be proper. But they have no dignity. This is why they're so offended with him, with Donald Trump. He was never allowed to be in their network. They would never, ever, and have never allowed anyone with such dignity and elegance into their realm. Was there elegance with Obama? Was there dignity with him, now that we look at his track record? How about Joe Biden? Was there any elegance and dignity and anything honorable about him, knowing his past? Jimmy Carter? No. John F. Kennedy? Yes. Abraham Lincoln? Definitely. Some of the others? Andrew Jackson, George Washington. These men had dignity in their time, but not like Donald Trump in this time. What he does is elegant. He is building the new presidential, what do you call it? They have a name for the plane for the president. Air Force One. He's building a new one for the final president of this country. And the final president is going to ride in elegance, the elegance that Donald Trump has put together. He's going to dance in that new ballroom. He's going to fly in the new Air Force One. He's going to enjoy. There may be, I'm starting to think that there may be some still another flash of good times coming to this country. There may be one final, time of some prosperity, maybe peace. There might be a Donald Trump is the eye of the hurricane. He may bring in some still calm or calmness to this country and bring back a little more hope once again financially. I can't say that's true. I can't say that because right now we are in a time that Christ stated would be a time of birth pains and sorrows. But maybe, just before a woman goes into labor, there might be those final minutes or hours where she can just rest before she goes into the labor. And there might be just a little time where it's not going to be a year, I don't think. It might be half a year where possibly, if this Russian war doesn't take place this coming fall, then we may have till next fall. And that's one thing I can't say. I can't say that Russia and the Russian war is coming this year, but I can't say that it's not coming this year. I can't say that it's coming a year and 5 months out. I can't say that. I'm 50-50. I'm trying to get off of a 50-50. I'm thinking it still could if certain things develop, but then again, I'm hoping it won't. I'm hoping the Russia war comes in 2027, but I don't know. But Donald Trump, the elegance, because why? This, look at his wife. Look at Donald Trump's wife. Look at Mrs. Trump. This lady is elegant. Everything around Donald Trump is elegant. Look at his children. This man, you can tell success when you look at a man's children. Like with Barry Satoru, he didn't give birth to any girls. He and Michelle, those aren't his girls. They were rent-a-girls, rent-a-family. But the American people, they don't care. We're brain-damaged. Then you look at Biden, Joe Biden, who was never president. Look at his children. You look at George Bush Jr., not junior, you senior. Look at his children. Corrupt. And Reagan. Reagan was kind of a mess too. His children are somewhat decent, but I know what the Bible says about the seventh king, that one of the final seven presidents of the United States of America. He has the dignity. King Solomon in I think it's 1 Kings 8, on the day of the dedication. At the end of the dedication, King Solomon stated, there is a stranger that is going to come from another country. And this king, this stranger, he's on the same stature that I am. He is a great king. He has power. He rules a nation. And he's coming to Israel. I recognize him because you look at the splendor around me. Look at what has been built by my father. And look at the temple. My father brought everything together and I built it. And look what Donald Trump has built starting in 2019. Look what he has done. Look at the changes. And look at the way in which the hatred of a man who has done nothing but try to do what is right for the American people. And people complain that he is so arrogant. Oh no, you haven't seen the number one narcissist. You think Donald Trump is a narcissist? No, you look at these people in Europe. Look at Keir Starmer, Macron, God is not with us. You look at these people. These people are narcissists. And the people of their countries doing with what they have done to destroy Europe. Europe is a disaster. And the people of Europe, they can't say a word about these people. They'll end up in jail. But these people are so arrogant. Well, you have to have somebody that has the same type, not the same type, that has the same chutzpah to push back, to put them in their place. That's Donald Trump. To have an audience of these very arrogant narcissists, all of them. And you have to be narcissistic. If you're going to spend time with a lot of, in sports, if you're going to spend time on a football field or a basketball court with people that are strong-willed, adamant about getting that basket to the hoop or getting that ball across the line, the goal, you have to be a powerful person psychologically. You have to be as powerful as those on the field those that are on the field with you. In this world where Donald Trump is, you have to be not narcissistic in a negative, in an evil way, but you have to have those tendencies right there to deal with these vicious dogs. These vicious dogs, if he wasn't that way, they would do to him what they did to Carter. They do to him what they did with Nixon. They do to him what they did to Gerald Ford. They couldn't do it with Ronald Reagan. George Jr., they could. He was kind of a weakling, but not Trump. Trump is in a wolf pack, is in a pack of wolves with the worst, most wicked men, narcissistic devil worshipers, not all of them, a mass of them, a majority of them, that have ever been born. So that's what he's up against. So it's easy to judge him. Be careful. You don't know, you've never been in these meetings that he's had to go into that are vicious with these reporters. These reporters are trained year after year after year how to be vicious. But programs on thispresenttruth.com. Again, I'm your host, Rick Rodriguez. And contact me, Rick Rodriguez, Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. I'm looking at I have only seconds to finish the program. I have a specific length, and I'm almost there. So, God bless you, and may God open your eyes to see the truth about this great president. Bye.